Okay, let's look at James 2:23. Someone has just preached my message, so this will just be short. But I love it. It was great. It's wonderful to have the same Holy Ghost, huh? Amen. Praise God. James 2:23. Are you there? I love it that you guys are flipping those pages. You can't leave your iPad to your grandchildren. It'll be outdated, but you can leave your marked up Bible. I do. I take my phone. I used my phone at the convention sometimes. Took my Bible too. Sometimes I use my phone, and that's okay. But it's also good to have a book. Did y'all know there are books in heaven? There's libraries. It's not everything's just going to be zoop. Praise the Lord. You get to enjoy books. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham believed God. He had faith in God. It was credited to him for right standing. He was in right standing because he believed God, not because he earned it. It was a free gift. It was his. If you've received Jesus as your personal Savior and you've confessed that God raised him from the dead, you are born again, and that's how you got in. That's exactly what Danny was talking about. And then there's some things that we do, not to keep our salvation, in my personal opinion, but to be a friend of God. Amen. So I want to focus on that latter part. He called him friend. And I was going to sing the song, but I don't know if I could do it as much justice as Danny did. You know, we all sing these songs. We all talk about being a friend of God. Are we? Are we a friend of God? What does it mean to be a friend of God? So I just want to bring up a few points to you. There's 75 of them. We could probably get through them. No, there's five. I saw someone go, no. First, number one, friends love and trust each other. They trust and love each other. Mutual confidence is the mortar that binds us as living stones together. We are an assembly. We're not a pile of rocks. We're built like a fireplace, and that's where the fire can burn. Yeah. Amen. We are built together because of a mutual confidence. And this is actually what separates us from just being a herd of animals running together. Amen. So, you know, you can't even really keep together for an hour without some sort of mutual confidence, at least on the least intimate of relationships. There's still some kind of confidence there when you're speaking to another human. And then it is the lifeblood of friendship, actually. And you really can't say so-and-so is my friend if you don't trust them. You know, if suspicion creeps in, it's kind of like malaria creeping in. It's kind of like a spiritual malaria creeping in, and it'll kill that friendship. You begin to be suspicious of a friend, it'll just, and that's the devil's work, it'll kill it off. James deduced that Abraham was a friend of God because he believed him. So he trusted him. And you know, you can't have a friend if you don't know where to put them, and I'll explain that to you. There may be some vague reverence of or a hopeless, reluctant submission to an unknown God. Something outside of ourselves that we think may make us righteous. There may be something vague. Well, yeah, God's my friend. I love him. It's mental assent, you know. But church, really and truly, for any vivid, warm throb of friendship, there first has to be some clear knowledge. And then a desire to bring that knowledge to my heart by my faith. In other words, I have to pull it in. I have to say, you know, I trust this person. And I'm acknowledging that it's a heart thing. And then you begin to live with that revelation that this person is someone that is my trusted friend. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so unless I trust God like this, I can't really be his friend. If you and I are his friends, then we're going to have to trust him. And he's going to have to trust us. You receive that today? He'll have to trust us as well. The friendship can't be one-sided. And the name of God, even though it's, I would say that it might be ambiguous to whether it's the one whom I love or the one who loves me. Maybe that's kind of cloudy, who loves who, right? You might be kind of thinking that, well, the Lord, well, I love, you know, you just kind of go back and forth with that. Really, we have to see that it needs to include both persons. Both persons have to get into a relationship. So it can't just be, you know, I know my friend Debbie, we've known each other for years. I know Debbie loves me. It has to be that I love Debbie, that we have that relationship. That I love Riley and Kim. We have that relationship. It's two-sided. And I believe they've absolutely proved that by being here today. Amen. And so it has to be an agreement. It has to be a deal. And there are similar, if not identical, emotions to this. Come on, think about it. Think about it. Think about the songs that were so perfectly selected today. Here I am, heart wide open, arms wide open. Here I am. I'm declaring my love to you. And all through this word, God has declared his love to you. In fact, drive down the road and look at God declaring his love to you. Look at those beautiful cardinals that fly up to your window. Look at the beautiful drives we have around here. Look at the lake. I went to the rodeo last night. It just proves how much God loves me. Y'all know who the pickups are? You know what a pickup man is? One person in here knows. The pickup people are the two guys on the horses out in the arena. And when someone falls off, they ride their horses over. They take care of everything. Deb was so amazed because one of the pickup men, this guy rides, I think he was riding just a bareback. He was doing a bareback romp. And he lost his hat. And one of the pickup men went over and took his lasso and flipped that hat up and caught it and put it on that guy's head. Well, what does that have to do with my sermon? Nothing, I just want to tell you. No, actually it does. He then rides around and he comes up to the kids. Am I right? He's right in front of us. We had great seats. He comes up, we went with Lizzie and Kevin, and he comes right up to the fence there, and he's waiting for the next contestant. And the kids are just hanging over there, wanting to pet that horse. And that horse just comes right up there like, go ahead. God is good. The man was good. That child got to touch that big animal that he loved. By the way, the first time Amanda touched a horse, she did like this. It was great. Praise the Lord. That was her day of breakthrough. Glory to God. But just that we had talked about on the way home, we were talking about how that man treated those people. God will just come right up to you and love you. He'll just come right up there and fulfill your dream. But notice they had to reach out. See, y'all didn't think I could connect that. Thank you, Lord. That was good. Thank you for connecting. So it can't be one-sided. So if I trust God, I can be sure that God will trust me. And in confidence, that leaves me in this perfect deal. If I love God and God loves me, then that dignifies me. That blesses me. That makes things better for me. Because he just comes back and splashes back on you more than what you can even do. He's a reciprocator. It's just really a wonderful thing. Do y'all see that? You know, what we know is this, that belief in God was the very nerve and the very center of Abraham's character. And that was why he's called the friend of God. That was the very thing about him. Yeah, I believe you. Yeah, I believe you will. Yeah, I believe you'll take care of this. And what we see, what we must remember, and we see James just insisting this in these writings here, that it was not just this mere idle assent, this mental assent, or just this, some kind of intellectual conviction that God can't lie. It wasn't just that. It was a trust that proved itself to be valid because it was continually operational in Abraham's life. And here lies where you can actually see where faith without works is dead, because there was faith with works in the true sense of the word. By faith he went out of the land. By faith he dwelt in tabernacles in the promised land, believing that by faith that this would be his and his seeds. When you look through the hall of faith, they did something with their faith. And this belief that God, that he could trust God, was so prevalent in his life that he took the chances he needed to take. That when he saw God doing something and he knew he was supposed to do it, he would step out there and do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he believed God through all of his decision making. Do you believe God through your decision making? Are you making decisions because of what God has shown you? Maybe, maybe not. I hope you are. Now, I'll just say this real quickly. Danny kind of hit on this as well. You know, a lot of people aren't sure what God's going to do. In fact, you've heard that. Well, you never know what God's going to do. Well, I got news for you. You can know exactly what he's going to do.
Yep. Amen.
See, that's the problem. Religion has messed you up. Yeah. You can know exactly what God is going to do. Well, I don't know if he's going to come through. He said he would. He said he would. So what you have to do is get to the place where you actually believe that. And when you start trusting that he'll come through, he'll come through. Because he's knocking on your door. He's tapping on your window. He's calling you up. He's trying to get you to say yes. He's trying to get you to believe him. He's trying to say, trust me. I'm your friend. Be my friend. Amen. You know, whether it be our friendship with God or with another, whether it be that I love you or you love me, the bottom line is actually trust. It's actually trust. Where there's trust, there's no separation. You stay together. Amen. And I want to say this one thing to you here. We love him because he first loved us. When we were enemies, God reconciled us by Jesus. Glory to God. You know, there's an old saying. I don't know if you've heard it or not. Some of you may be familiar, but there's a saying that when lightning strikes a tree, that all of the foliage will turn toward where the strike came from. Have you ever heard that? So the branches turn to the source of the life-giving bolt. Are the life-giving light. When the love of God strikes your spirit, you will turn and reciprocate that love. When you feel that love, when you know that love, when you sense that love, and most of all, when you trust that love, then you're going to love back in just this sweet echo of original love. You're just going to echo back. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? See, if people are like, I'm trying to love, I want to love, I'm trying to love people. Stop it. Stop trying to love people. What? Yeah, you're in the fleshly works. Get to know how much God loves you. The Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by Holy Spirit. So if you'll just start focusing on, you know what? God loves me. You love me, Lord. I'm your friend. I'm your friend, Lord. I love you. You love me. Jesse, I listen to Jesse every Sunday, and he tells his partners, he says, you trust me and I trust you. Well, that's the way it is with God. Can he trust you? See, if you'll begin to get acquainted with that love and think about what he's really done, you're going to get past religion. You're going to get past, well, I had to go to church and I wish they'd hurry up because I'm hungry. You'll get out of that flesh. When's it going to be over? Don't worry, I'm hungry too. We're going then. When God's ready. Amen. We need to grow up some.
Right.
I mean, you have all of your life. Won't hurt you to be somewhere for 2 hours.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, no mama whippings. I'm going on. Okay. Now, so I really just want to lay upon your heart this thought. Friends, trust and love each other. Do we trust and love our God? Number two, and these are all much shorter. Friends have frank, familiar interaction with one another. That's number two. Friends have frank, familiar interaction with one another. Do you remember God's frankness with Abraham? He said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I'm about to do? You remember that? He's going to go. He's going to take care of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's not going to hide it from his friend. Think about that. And then what did Jesus say to us over in John 15? He said, I call you not servants, but friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I declare unto you. See, this is written by John, the Apostle John. What is it about the Apostle John? He's the one whom Jesus loved, and he went around saying it. He understood that Holy Spirit would transmit to him what he needed to know at the moment. Holy Spirit will transmit to you what you need to know. And he knew he would because he knew how much God loved him, how much Jesus loved him. John's a good person to study if you want to know how much God loves you. Amen. And so, you know, Moses, there's that same thing. Both of those guys, they persisted with importunity. They would actually just, now they wouldn't have done that if they hadn't had this friendship, because it would have been a little bit presumptuous, right? You know how far you can dip into somebody's life. Well, most of you do. Hopefully the oversteppers will step back a little. But you gotta know where you are in a person's life, whether it's presumptuous to come in with what you want to say. Am I right? But these two guys, they just with importunity, that means shameless boldness. They would just come in and they would say, now God, now you said. They talked to him that way. Why were they able to talk to them that way? Because they knew that he loved them. And it was reciprocated. It went both ways. About 2 weeks ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, if you're going to Europe, you better go. And I said, okay. So I was walking past Danny. She has this beautiful desk at the office. And she's sitting out there. I said, I'm going to Europe. Can you stay at my house while I go? And she said, wait a minute. You invited me to go to Europe. And she said, are you uninviting me? And I went, no, you want to go? Well, yeah. Now, she knew. She knew what she could say to me. She knew that she was not overstepping. She totally understood that she had that, you know, she could just say, praise the Lord. So you got to know. These two guys knew. I can talk to God like that. And I love it that the day I said, Lord, now I'm asking you for extraordinary, da, 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 da. And he said, wait a minute. We've already been through this. He had talked to me like that.
Yeah.
In fact, he's told me to shut up before.
Yeah.
I consider to be one of his good friends. It was a long time ago and I've never made the mistake I did that day. So you can talk to a friend. And with God, the word says that if you're talking to a friend with God, he won't criticize you. See, you gotta know, you gotta have a friend that you can talk to. If you're telling them your feelings, you're not wanting them to correct you or give you direction. You're just wanting some, yeah, I understand. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Mamas look straight ahead. You do. You just want someone to say, aw. Yeah, I get it. If they say, now you know what you need to do? You're like, I wish I'd never opened my mouth. But God knows when to do what. Sometimes he'll just say, come here, baby. And then sometimes when you need direction, he gives you that direction. Number three, friends delight to meet each other's wishes. See, Abraham just did what God wanted him to do. He left behind his family. He even offered up his son. As Danny said, those are probably the last two sons that needed to be offered up.
Yeah.
Isaac and Jesus. Amen. Amen. But he was willing to do whatever the command was. Church, I want to show you something. Those of you that were raised in religion or in a lot of guilt, stop thinking of God's command to you as you better do right or you're going to get a whipping and you're going to stay in your room. That's not his guidance. His guidance is more like a GPS in life. Go here. Will you do? You already work for me. It's God and sons. Go here and do this. Turn this way. Oh, you want to do this? Okay, then do this, do this. And he'll let you in on it. You'll begin to flow with him. And some days he'll just say, what do you want to do? I've had that happen. He's told me before, you make the choice. Amen. But stop thinking of him as a mean daddy.
Yeah.
He's going to beat you up if you don't do his commands. Command turned into an ugly word, but you don't think it when Siri's helping you go somewhere. I can't tell you how many turns it takes us to get our dogs to the breeder when we were boarding them. Without Siri, I don't know. We might have been in Louisiana by the time we got through. But Siri's helpful. Well, God is more helpful. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we meet each other's, meet each other's wishes. So the very mark and signature of love is that it delights to fulfill the desires of the beloved. I just want to do this for you, Lord. My sister who y'all know well, Sissy, she lives at the coast now, but she used to sing a song in the old days called I Didn't Come Here to Ask You for Anything. Mm-hmm. I just came to talk with you, Lord. Mm-hmm. That is a good song. Just, Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to talk about? What's on your heart? What do you like, Lord? You know, what about just that? Lord, what would just make you happy? Well, do this gesture, do so and so to the, and it'll always be that he'll provide what you need when he gives you, what he wants you to do. And so what happens is that mark and signature of love that we have that delights to fulfill the one that is beloved, it actually molds us into a kind of a conformity with each other. You have this thing going on. You all know what I'm talking about with your honey, with your spouse, with some of your dear friends. There's just something that makes it work. And most of it is called trust. Listen to these two hearts. John 15:14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. In other words, let me lead you through this. It'll be easier. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask what you want and I'll do it for you. That's the heart of the matter with him. Let me show you where to go and you'll be my friend. I'll be your friend by just staying up in my word so that the word is working in you and it'll be activated in you. You can have whatever you want. Amen. He's not holding back. Haven't you ever been so delighted with someone that you just said, what do you want? I just want to get you something. With your kids, you're like, what do you want to do? You've just been such a blessing.
Yeah.
And you're like, I just want to do something for you. We, our staff had Christmas in July. I just called them in there and I said, I just want you to know that I'm so blessed by your faithfulness, your loyalty. And I just want to give you something extra. So we had Christmas in July for the staff. I'm grateful. I'm just grateful and I trust them. I trust them with this ministry. Number four, friends give each other gifts. So there's no friendship if self shuts out the friend from participating with the others. You can't shut yourself out. If you pay me a compliment, I need to take it. If I pay you a compliment, I need to take it. Now, this is real big in the church. This will take me about 30 seconds to tell you this, and then we'll move on. There's this all the time. Sister, that was a great word you preached. Oh, no, not I. It was all God. No, not me. No, it's the Lord.
Come here, let me get this thing off of you real quick.
They have a bug.
Yeah. Not anymore.
That's a friend. I kept slapping it, and I kept, is that what you were looking at? You're going, the bug's flying around. So that was, people on TV, that was a bug on me. Okay. Were y'all all looking at it flying around? Can do the monster on Young Frankenstein. Okay. Where were we? Giving to each other. Yeah, so when, you know, you participate. Oh, yeah, my 30 second saying. Not I, but God, you know. Just take the compliment.
Yeah.
You look pretty today. This old thing. Just say thank you. Just say thank you and go on. If you do a good job in the ministry or in what you're doing, all you have to do is say thank you and then go and release that to the Lord. Amen. Lord, thank you that they liked that. Thank you that I was able to be a blessing. Yes. When you do the opposite, you're rejecting the gift. You're rejecting the compliment. You reject the person. Come on.
Yeah.
Don't get religious on me. Right. That's just the truth. Receive one another.
Right.
Receive one another. Praise the Lord. And number five, friends stand up for each other. They knock the bugs off your head. I'm surprised you didn't jump up here and swat it off on me. When Abraham was threatened by the kings of the east, God said, fear not, I'm your shield. If we're God's friends and lovers, then he'll take up our cause. He will fight for you. He will take up your cause. If you don't feel that way, it's because you don't know his love enough. He wants you to win. He will take up your cause. He will help you get your property. He will help you have a house. He will help you be healed. He will take up your cause.
Amen.
Amen, Margaret. That's mine too. And it kind of gets off on us. We're kind of like that. You know, we see something going on. We're like, how can we help them? How can we help them get that? How can we launch that person? Art and I have been talking about that. How can we help launch some of the people into what we know they need to do? What can we do? See, we're acting like our father.
Yeah.
Because he's very willing.
Yeah.
He's very willing to, help us. If we're God's friends and lovers, then we're going to take up his cause.
Right.
We're going to take up the kingdom cause. And so God trusts his reputation to you, church. He trusts his reputation to you. You doing a good job? Three people are. Praise the Lord. So he has interest in this world that you are looking after. Me? You're like, well, maybe you have to. Maybe Riley and Kim have to. Maybe Pastor Deb and Danny and Jeff. Maybe they know you. All of us.
Yeah.
All of us are looking after his interest. Wherever you are in the seven mountains, whatever you do, whatever is your part, you're looking after his interest. People are watching. If you're looking after his interest, you got to be sober. And I don't just mean not drunk from drinking and toking. That's pretty obvious. But I mean sober enough to see what's going on. That you're watching so you can be interested. Like you can see the person who might need you at that moment. What we talk about frequently is that we don't want the people that say, yeah, get out of my way, I'm trying to get my ministry done. We don't want to be those people. Can y'all just come, settle down? We're trying to do ministry. You are our ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you have to defend him and he has to defend you. I just wonder how many people care about that, but I pray you'll awaken to that today. I think we do. I think more people will in this time. I see patriots rising up. They're rising up for this nation, but may the church of the living God rise up for this kingdom. May we rise up for this kingdom and do what we need to do. And let me just quote the scripture to you. James 4:4 says, you have become spiritual adulterers who are having an affair, an unholy relationship with the world. Don't you know that flirting with the world's values places you at odds with God? Whoever chooses to be the world's friend makes himself an enemy to God. So being God's friend means you're going to be a kingdom person, a kingdom culture person. You're going to flow in those things. You know, I have many good friends in my life. Some are eternal. Some have separated. Some have stabbed me in the back that I've known all my life. Some will be there for me forever. Some will break away and come and make up one of these days. This is only one chapter if you have a friend like that. You have friends that will stand up for you. My hero is Brandon Holler. He took up my calls. He's done that more than once, but he took up my calls when someone was shouting in my face in the Chili's parking lot. And I'll never forget that. And to this day, we're covenant friends. And we would, whether he'd done that or not, we would have been. But I know that if I called him, he would come. Deb has been my friend since 1976. And she would ride her bicycle past our church. And we was in there, we were with a bunch of Pentecostal people, and they were in there hollering. Well, we came out of the Baptist church, so we were like, okay, yeah. And, but it worked. Praise the Lord. And I'm grateful to those people because they helped us be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But she will be my friend throughout eternity. And I'm grateful for that. But I want you to know whether you've had a friend like I've had or not, you have a friend in Jesus. No human heart is a millionth part so sweet and so capable of satisfying as God's. God is so sweet. He's so capable. He's there. When Jonas was with us, Jonas is in heaven now. He's Deb's son. And when he was a little boy, he thought he needed to ride in between the bucket seats with both arms. He's always there. And we're, get back, put your seatbelt on, get back, all the time. We'd always be telling him that all the time. He actually encouraged you to start playing the drums. Remember that? He launched you. Isn't that amazing? And now you're a launcher. That's how Jesus sits. He's right there. Okay, now what do we do? There's been so many times that Jesus has just come up on me like that. And in the spirit, I mean, I saw him right here, but he'd be going, I'm right here. I can remember standing out in Yellowstone Park and looking at that, there's this place where there's this big waterfall. It's so beautiful. And it was like all of a sudden, these guys had walked down, and I was taking pictures of them from up high. And it was like Jesus just went, what do you think about that? And I can tell you so many times that's happened to me. And I was thinking about the first few times I saw you preach, Jesus just leaning over my shoulder and saying, what do you think about that? I remember when Jesse got up to sing, Jesus went, and what do you think about that? There's just so many things. And I'm going to have to throw this in here because I'm closing. When those two little poodles run into my house, Jesus says, and what do you think about that? Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. God will never leave you nor forsake you. How much more of a friend is he to you? Be his friend. Be a friend of God. Make up your mind, because then he'll start having fun with you. He'll get out on the boat with you. He'll ride the motorcycle with you. John pulled up at the house to work the other day, and he was riding this beautiful Harley. And so I had to run out there and try to sit on it, you know. And I thought, man, Jesus likes that.
Yeah.
Jesus loves it that John's, you know, riding down the road, cruising. Jesus likes that. Jesus liked it that I had tears in my eyes watching the rodeo. That's my thing. Yeah. Watching those beautiful beasts out there. Yeah, and I'm looking at them. Okay, what kind of, that's a funny looking tie down. What are they, you know, what are they riding him with? You know, what bits he using? Yeah, that's my thing. I love that. But just watching how those horses behaved. And I knew Jesus was like, you like this, don't you? You just like this. Well, I'm going to tell you one more thing I like, looking at you.
Amen.
I like looking at you. And Jesus is saying, you like this, don't you? He loves you, church. He loves you. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for every person in the house. Father, we're so blessed. You're such a friend to us that you sent some of our very best friends here today. Thank you, Lord, for sending Kim and Riley to our house today. We're so blessed. We thank you for that you've allowed us to be in the tribe of this faith camp. We are so grateful to be connected to the revival capital of the world. And we're so grateful to live in the hills and lakes. And we're so grateful to be such a family church. We're so grateful for these 20 years. And Lord, most of all, we are grateful that you love us as friends. Not just children, but you love us as your friends. In Jesus' name.